Session number 5190, Lieutenant Colonel Cyril Luckin, part 5.
And you now say that you want 700,000 Deutschmarks. How is that made up? Well, you'd then possibly say, agreed that some 20,000 is accounted for by alterations made by the British authorities to their requirements. Another 100,000 is so-and-so, is due to the fall in the calorific value of your rations, etc., etc., so forth. The remainder, I can't agree to. I think it's due to your own forthcomings. And therefore, I am only prepared to notify to them the military commission, which governed Germany, that of that 700,000, only 600,000 may be shown as occupational costs. The other £100,000 you can pay to the contractor if you like, but you will pay it. We will not. And that solved the difficulty. That went on at all levels of that. So that it meant the German authorities carried out all the work. They paid for it. And only that amount which we would agree to could be set aside by them as occupational costs, which might at some time later be called as part of a reparation.
Right. Well, finally, after you finished in Germany, when did you finish in Germany, in fact?
I finished in Germany in January 1947. I went out to headquarters Middle East at Fayed in Egypt.
And from there, where did you go?
Well, nowhere in a sense, except that the Middle East headquarters included the whole of North Africa, Malta, Greece. We still had ramifications in Iran and the Lebanon. Obviously Palestine, Egypt, the Sudan, Aden, Addis Ababa. We also they've abolished the East African Command, and we took over Kenya as well. But my headquarters was on the Suez Canal at Fayed. I actually spent more time in the air than I spent on the ground, I think, travelling around.
You mentioned that you returned to Palestine. What were your impressions on your return to Palestine?
That was one of my deepest impressions, because, as I've already said, I was in Palestine in 1920, which was the beginning of the British Mandate. And in those days, practically the whole country was barren. There'd been practically no development probably for hundreds of years during the Turkish occupation, etc., and so forth. And it was almost 25 years to the day that I next saw Palestine. In the meantime, of course, the British Mandate had run, or did run, right up until 1945. I saw it again in 1948. I saw it again in 1947 for the first time. And no matter what one might think of the idea of an Israel, of Israel politics, or their method of life, or anything at all, I must hand it to them that in 25 years they had turned what was practically a desert country into an orchard. I've never seen anything like it. That where in my own memory was simply miles and miles of sand dunes, now you look down on miles and miles of citrus fruits, etc., etc. They had found water where everybody at one time thought water didn't exist, etc., etc. They really had worked a transformation. In Haifa, where at one time it was simply a bay, and any shipping that came in there simply had to anchor offshore and send stuff ashore by lighter. They had built one of the most modern docks in the world, capable of handling anything you like. So that they did their work an absolute transformation in that way. And therefore one could that when we gave up the mandate in 1948, they were certainly not going to give that up without a struggle. And that of course led to the first war between the Arab states and Israel in 1948. But of course it was started by the Arabs, who immediately attacked with the idea of throwing the Israelites out completely. But it just didn't work. They were too good for them. No matter.
Okay, thanks.